And you are listening to the hymn we're going to be taking a look at today on Rumination Tuesday, December the 18th in the year of our Lord 2018. And because it's a Rumination Tuesday, Pastor Mark Smith is with us. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Tom, we could have just listened to those beautiful strings all morning.
Well, actually, this is the Piano Guys.
Oh, these are the Piano Guys.
Have you ever heard them?
No.
Oh, they are tremendous. They have huge crowds. And basically, this is a, what's those big violins called?
Yes,
and the piano. So those two things they're playing. And I thought it would be interesting to listen
to that. I
should
know. My nephew played one of those. What are they called? I can't think of what it is.
Bassoon. Okay.
Bassoon.
This is one of the most favorite ones. This was a Latin text that began...
An ancient hymn.
Yes. About 1743. And it was written by... What do you have there? John Francis Wade?
Let's see. I've got... I thought it was older than this. The Latin hymn is from the 12th century.
Right.
It was translated by John Mason Neal in the 1800s. It's based, I know, on the O Antiphons, which are very ancient, I believe.
The O Antiphonies?
The O Antiphons.
Oh, what's that?
O come, O wisdom from on high, O day spring from on high.
What are they?
Well, they're ancient.
Well, you just can't say they're ancient. Actually, they're...
They were used the last 7 days of Advent.
Yes.
Every evening.
In fact...
In the early church.
In our particular hymnal we're looking at, they're on the right page.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're all printed out for us, right.
Yes.
But it says the hymn is based on 7 ancient antiphons,
right,
that were used at Vespers during the last 7 days of Advent.
Yes. So that's something that we need to look at today?
I would think so, yes.
Do you like this hymn?
It's not, you know, yeah, it's a good Advent hymn. I can't say it's one of my favorites.
Really?
But I like it. You know, I like it, yeah.
The O Antiphons begin on December the 17th and go through December the 23rd.
Yeah. 7 days. Last seven days of Advent.
And each one begins with a special title for Jesus.
Right. That's right.
Wisdom is first, Adonai, Root of Jesse, King of David, Dayspring, King of the Nations, O Emmanuel.
Right.
And it's one that people were to consider. Did you realize, which I didn't until I had looked at this, that the 7 verses of O Come Emmanuel parallel each of the antiphons?
Yes, except it, you know, it's interesting. The last one for December the 23rd, Emmanuel, that's sung first. Isn't that interesting?
Oh.
That's in the first verse. So the verse is a little bit different order.
Yes.
And wisdom, let's see, wisdom is
two.
Should be December the 17th. That's the second verse.
Number two, right.
Right.
So,
O Adonai, that would be the third verse where it talks about the Lord of Might.
Yes.
It talks about Moses, the tribes of Sinai.
So the verses are a little different, but yeah, there's 7 of them, so we better get going. If
right.
You would be so kind as to read the first stanza.
Okay. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Did they spell Emmanuel wrong?
No, it's spelled 2 different ways.
Yes.
Sometimes with an I and sometimes with an E.
Yeah, my wife's always complaining, you know, when I sing Hallelujah, I always do it Hallelujah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes Hallelujah without an H, or sometimes with a hard breathing with an H.
Now, we hardly even wait past the first stanza. Right away, we have the purpose of Emmanuel, and that is, and ransom captive Israel.
Yes.
What does Emmanuel mean?
God with us.
Yeah, three Hebrew words. God with us. And so this refers both to his incarnation and the fact that he ransoms captive Israel. So he paid the Romans to get Israel freed?
No. He paid the ultimate price on the cross. Who are the Israelites captive to? Sin, death. Bondage of sin and death, yes.
And the devil.
And the devil, of course, yes.
Yes.
Sure.
And isn't that interesting to use the word ransom? When do we use the word ransom?
It's usually kind of a bad thing. It's usually when somebody is kidnapped.
Yes, and that we're going to buy him back. There's a number of ultra right wingers that do this in various countries, kidnap company heads and then demand money for them. But Jesus didn't pay any money. What did he pay?
Paid with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, yes.
So this is really an important verse to show where are the captive Israelites, according to the next line.
Okay, thou wisdom from on... Oh, you're talking about the next line. We mourn in lonely exile here. Yes.
You know how many people don't realize they're in exile?
I would say a lot of people, you know, especially the unbelievers, they don't have a clue.
No, don't have a clue. And they know sometimes it's not a nice place to be when they have suffering or death of a loved one or this kind of thing. But the Israelites, and here we're talking about the faithful ones, they are mourning until the Son of God appear. In fact, that was purpose of the ceremonial laws. They were so burdensome, they could hardly wait for the Son of God to appear until the new religion of Judaism turned the ceremonial laws into worked righteousness.
Right.
Then they liked them, and they looked down on others who weren't doing them.
That's right.
Etc.
They thought they were earning their own way.
So the first words of the hymn remind us of Advent, because what does Advent mean?
Advent means coming.
Yes. So, O come, Emmanuel. And notice that every stanza begins with that.
That's right.
All right, I'll read stanza two. O come, thou wisdom from on high, who orderest all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Wisdom from on high. What would that mean if you were doing a sermon on that?
Well, Christ is the true wisdom from on high.
Yes. In other words, I am the way, the
truth,
and the life. Yes. Plus,
and what is that passage? Is it in the Old Testament? Is it Proverbs or is it Psalms that talks about wisdom?
Well, Proverbs.
I think it's Proverbs,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And Jesus is personified as
exactly.
Wisdom. And therefore, when we get him, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we therefore get wisdom. You know what I find so amazing? You know how I love to do sermons. I do sermons in such a way that I tell them something that's absolutely ridiculous, which is true, but they are unaware of it. And then as I explain it, they believe it.
I'm still laughing at your first line. You tell them something that's absolutely ridiculous.
Well,
that must be awful easy for you, Tom.
You just read the Bible.
I know. I know what you're saying.
Okay, before your wife was married, an angel appeared to her and said she would have a child.
Yes.
Without
yes,
any human
yes,
being. I that's know. Absolutely.
Yep. Now, let's see. Is that rational or logical? It's logical, but it's not rational.
Very good.
Right?
I'm glad you get that distinction.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, the Bible is totally logical, but it's totally irrational. It's
unbelievable that he would give us his body and blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. Or that he would rise from the dead.
Or the angels would go to a bunch of stinking shepherds, and I say that because they weren't allowed in the temple.
They were the lowest yes. strata in society.
And proclaim to them that, oh, by the way, the Son of God is born. And they go rushing to see him and bow before him, and then they go and tell everybody.
In the stable, yes. Yes, it
now
is.
That, you see, that's what I'm saying, these ridiculous notions. And yet
it's the truth.
It's the truth.
It's a wonderful
truth. And the people believe it.
And what a wonderful story, you know, the Christmas story.
Yes.
Babe in Bethlehem. You know, it's in a way, it's very simple, very, very ordinary that a baby is born.
Sure.
But there's just something about that Christmas story that grabs all of us. It's just so sacred for us.
When you read it for Christmas, do you read the translation, ESV, or do you read the King James?
I use the old King James.
Me too.
Yeah, and they were sore afraid. You know, you just can't beat that King James for Luke chapter 2.
No, that's good.
And even though, now even though you have to distinguish, they were coming to be registered.
Yes.
They weren't coming to be taxed, they were coming to be registered. But you know what they were registering for? To be taxed.
Yes. 3.
Yes. O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Now that's really the verse of Adonai.
Yes.
That's talking about Jesus is the same as the I am of now, the Old Testament.
If you would ask most people who appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai, they would almost always say God the Father, because that's what it says, who gave the commandments.
Yeah.
But where did Jesus Christ appear?
He appeared out of the burning bush.
Yes. In fact, that's what the antiphon says, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai. Boy, that really shows, when you see me, you see the Father.
That's right.
I and the Father are one.
That's right.
And
in the fullness of Jesus, in the fullness of the Godhead, dwells in him.
Yes. I'll read 4. O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree, free them from Satan's tyranny, that trust thy mighty power to save and give them victory over the grave. So explain branch of Jesse.
Well, that's another aspect of Jesus, that he descends from Jesse. Jesse, who was the father of King David.
Yes.
Jesus is a descendant of King David.
Yes. And I love that Concordia Publishing House had a kind of a sign which had the line going from Adam and Eve all the way down to Jesus.
Yes, I still got that poster somewhere.
Yeah, I've got 2 of them. In fact, I got one laminated because I use it a lot of times in seminars and things like that. So there's a line going down to Jesus, and once more we see his purpose to free us from Satan's tyranny.
Tyranny.
What would be a synonym for tyranny for kids to understand that?
Let's see, tyranny would be a dictatorship.
Yes.
In our day, dictatorship.
That's good. That's good. Telling you what to do and making you promises that he's always lying, etc. And instead we trust thy mighty power to save. Here we go back to faith, not works. All right, 5.
O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Key of David. Children would not understand what that means.
Well, if you read the rest, and open wide our heavenly home. He's the key of David. He holds in his hands. We're studying Revelation right now.
Oh, yeah.
He holds in his hands the keys of death and Hades.
When did he distribute them to his disciples?
Oh, the office of the keys.
Very good.
Right.
And that was on the Easter night. Whosoever sins, their sins are remit.
And whosoever sins, whoever does not repent, of course,
whosoever sins you retain.
That's right.
Yeah.
You retain those sins.
That's called the key.
The office of the keys.
And the door is closed for those who are not faithful.
Right.
And when you're faithful, then the door opens.
That's right. And yeah. Jesus himself is the door.
Yes. And so, therefore, when we talk about the key of David, in fact, the antiphon goes on, O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can close, you close and no one can open. What does scepter mean?
Well, you know, that reminds me, remember the story of Esther?
Yes.
And when she approached her king, he would hold out the scepter, meaning that she can approach.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yes. And she went one time when they weren't sure he would do that.
She really kind of laid her life on the line. She was pleading for the lives of her people, and he held forth his scepter. In other words, she could indeed approach him.
That's good. I had forgotten about that.
That's like the scepter. He's the scepter of the house of Israel. Jesus is the scepter.
And so, come unto me, all you who
labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Weak and heavy laden, yes. All right, I'll read 6. O come thou dayspring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Dayspring.
I look upon that as the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings.
Actually, every one of these titles are found in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And you're correct, Jesus is referred to as the day spring. What is the day spring in our day?
Well, like I said, Son of Righteousness, S-U-N.
Yeah, when the sun comes up.
Yeah, right.
See stars, this kind of thing.
And removes the gloom of doubt and sin.
Yes, and enlighten those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. When are people sitting in the shadow of death?
When they don't believe, when they do not know the Savior.
Yes, I would say when they sin. Because, remember, the curse of the law?
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't keep the commandments and death is the result.
But you know, when we're baptized, we're always God looks at us as saints.
But he also looks at us as 100% sinners,
that's
the old Adam.
Too. That's true, too. That's why we need to hear his absolution on a regular basis.
Yes. Yeah, just hearing these words.
Need to return to the promises of our baptism daily.
Well, they make a difference. That's what's so interesting about this whole concept of Advent, that it's preparing us for the Christmas season. Do you have the practice in your church where you don't play Christmas hymns until Christmas?
No. In fact, I understand the importance of Advent emphasis. I understand that. And there's some beautiful Advent hymns that certainly we want to sing a lot of Advent hymns, but I'm not one that, no Christmas hymns until December the 24th. You know, I'm not that way. No, I say give the people a little bit of the Christmas hymns even now. In fact, I wish KFUO would play more Christmas music already.
Uh-huh.
The world is hungry for it, for good, sacred Christmas music. Why don't they, they should play it even now.
Well, if you had listened to the coffee hour, they had 85 people in
they
here
did.
Singing
finally,
Christmas.
Finally. But you know, the world is listening, like you say, the world is listening. Santa Claus is coming to town, Frosty the Snowman. That's what the world is listening to. What they need, what they really need is good, sacred Christmas music.
Yes.
And you ought to flood the airwaves December.
I'm coming back from congregations all the time on long trips on Sunday, and I like listening to KFUO. And sure enough, they were playing Christmas
were
items.
They?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. There is some in there, right.
But Advent.
I think we ought to flood the airwaves with it. I really do.
Yeah,
good, beautiful, sacred Christmas music.
Yeah, I was on the way back, and I turned to them at 4 o'clock, and guess what they had on?
What?
Their annual German Christmas service.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. All right.
So I like listening to it because I could recognize most of the words.
Was it Dr. Kolb?
He did the sermon.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That comes from, I think, Peace Lutheran Church in Lime, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
and the pastor there did the liturgy.
Right.
And it was really interesting. Boy, German just has a way of saying it.
It does.
It's kind of like the King James of the English.
Yeah, it's it's kind of a sing-songy type.
Yeah. Oh, they had hymn after hymn.
Uh-huh, beautiful.
Yeah, it was really,
It is beautiful, too.
And they had choirs and children. Yeah. And, I mean, they really put together.
I think I heard that. I think it was, was it Sunday?
Yes.
I think I heard that Sunday, too. Yes.
4 o'clock, Well, then what are you talking about? We don't have Christmas music on KFUO.
Well, you know, I think it ought to be more plenteous. I really do.
Now, we have a station here in town that used to begin Christmas music at Thanksgiving.
Oh, I know.
Now they begin at November the 1st.
Yes, I know. Yes. That's the Christmas station. I'm not here to bash that, but you know, the quality.
Well, it just so happens the car I'm driving has those two stations that are really good. What are they called? XM Sirius.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the Hallmark Channel.
Uh-huh.
It was tremendous. It was all Christmas music with violins.
Really?
Orchestras. And I'd say 60% I never heard before.
Wow.
It was really not.
Really?
I
can't get that, I guess, on my.
Well, you have to have a Sirius XM.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you have to read the last stanza.
All right. Okay, let's see, that's 6, right?
No, 7.
O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of Peace.
Yes, desire of all the nations. I preached on that, actually, recently.
Desire of nations, come, fix in us our humble home.
Let's not ruin the program.
Okay.
We'll get those 50 people in here again.
I'm chomping at the bit to sing Christmas music, Tom.
So what are you singing this? Are you going to be doing Old Come, O Come, Emmanuel?
You know, we used it last Sunday.
Oh, you did? Don't you look ahead to see what the...
Well, it talks about joy. Rejoice, rejoice. Last Sunday was the Sunday of joy. And I thought, well, we'll do Old Come, O Come.
The pink candle.
Yeah.
You put the pink candle
on? No. But that's still the Sunday of joy. No, they're all blue.
All blue?
They're all blue, yes.
One church I went to, that was the first Wednesday. No, it was the first Sunday in Advent. And they lit the white.
Oh, really? The Christ candle.
And afterwards he said, did I light the right one? And I said, well, if today's Christmas, you did.
Not before Christmas Eve.
And so he asked me each time, and I tell him, yeah, today is the pink. Uh-huh. And then one lady said, that means it's joy. So they know
that. Right. That's right. Absolutely.
The candle's pretty good.
You bet.
Yeah, Advent is a great time. And then with the antiphons, and they had a really good explanation of the antiphons on the coffee hour yesterday. So if people want to hear it, I think it's
a good sermon series.
Yes.
You can preach it Sunday as well as Wednesday.
Yeah, see? I didn't even think about that.
You get them all that way.
All right, and what's your service time?
Service time, Saturday at 5 p.m. Oh, I beg your pardon, we're not having Saturday service this week. We're having Sunday service at 9 a.m. No Saturday service this week.
Thanks very much.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.